All right, turn to Hebrews 11. And today, this class and the next one will be our last ones ever in the book of Hebrews. I think we've made our way down to verse 30 because we didn't really finish up with Moses, but we've got quite a few scriptures left that we need to cover. So let's read 30 and 31. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. All right. We've been discussing that faith is the belief. The simple way we put it is life out of death. The actual truth of that is that there is a death, there is a union in death with Christ that brings about our crucifixion and brings about Christ's life, that brings about death to us, but Christ to others. And we'll see that more even clearly in some of the scriptures we should be dealing with now. So you say, well, what's that got to do with Joshua and all this and the walls of Jericho? Well, first of all, it says, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down. So here there is a death. There's not just a death in the sense of to the walls, but to all the people, because it says that at the end of verse, the middle of verse 31. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believe not. For them, there was a death with no life out of it, okay? In other words, we're not talking about you just giving up stuff and calling it a death, or you being mistreated by somebody and calling it a death, we're talking about an actual faith union with Christ, with the intent and the faith that believes that Christ is going to come forth out of this situation. Does everybody see the difference? The difference is somebody believes that all I've been saying for all these years is, well, just go through bad stuff and when you do, good will happen, kind of, I don't believe that. But I do believe in Christ and in his death, and I do believe in union into that death, and I believe that when we move from just being one of the inhabitants of Jericho to a faith with the people of God that believe in death and resurrection, and that resurrection, as I said, being Christ. Jesus said, I am the resurrection. He didn't say, I'm the resurrector, I resurrect people. He said, I'm your resurrection. And you begin to comprehend that in this reality of faith where you're believing you're going into a death, either a death to yourself where you want Christ to come forth, but that death has to be in union with Christ in his cross and not just, some sort of a suffering, hoping good will come of it, that sort of thing. You see the difference. One is a reality of Christ and him crucified. The other one is just hoping for the best and hoping things will turn out because you decided to lose out on some front or something like that. And so, clearly, again, it's talking about a death here and a resurrection. And the death here is all of these people that didn't believe, who didn't have faith, didn't have a resurrection. Because there's only a resurrection, there's only life out of Jesus' death. Okay? So they just perished. And I think that's, I think the definition of the word perish is to be devoid of life, which is Christ, to die being devoid of hope in that life or in that life, because it says they perished. Well, that means they all died and were not raised unto newness of life, as it says in Romans 6:4. that there it's talking about a resurrection, but it's not talking about a resurrection there to heaven. It's not talking about a resurrection to, you know, glory, as some people say it. It's talking about a resurrection to new life. A resurrection to new life. That new life is Christ. Okay. So there is this death that took place here. And they basically perished. And so John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever has this faith will not perish." There's that word again. And it is going off the scene with no hope of Christ coming forth. That's perishing. Okay? All hopes are dashed. But because why? Because Christ isn't just the only way to salvation. Christ is our life. Christ is our fullness. Christ is all. Okay? So, but then we see by faith, Rahab believed, she received these spies, she received Israel, and she must have received more than receiving them and hiding them from the guys that searched the place, if you remember the story, and I'm not going to tell you the whole story, but they came to search the place. She didn't just receive them and say, "Okay, I'm not going to turn you over to the authorities." She received their reality. Okay? She received it by what? Faith. In other words, what she received from them was faith. What was the faith she received? She received that she deserved to die, that she was a harlot, that she, you know, all that should come upon her would come upon her, but by joining the Israel who believes, has a faith that believes in life out of death, she believed that she would come out and no longer be of a foreign land, an alien nation in the realm, the land, the promised land, in the realm that God said was his. But she came out being one of them, joined to them, and living as an Israelite from then on. Okay, well, that's faith, see? And believing that she, because of this faith thing, because if you have faith, you automatically believe that if you go through a death, there's going to be a resurrection. And believing that she was dying literally when those walls came down and her city came down and everything, that she died with it, but she rose again in the person of Israel, if you will, the nation of Israel, and came forth in new life. Okay? And, let's see. I don't know if I got a whole lot on that. I wrote, resurrection only happens with Rahab. Why? Because the faith she had was not the avoidance of death, but resurrection out of it. And I think that's so important, because we would not see faith, we would not understand faith as God understands it, and we would see this as a miracle. And it's not a miracle. It's the same thing that happened with Moses. By faith, Moses kept the Passover. Remember what we talked about that? And it's this death of the lamb. And it's this belief that we're going to, that our old life here in Egypt is going to change, and we're coming up in resurrection out of it through the Red Sea and on our way to the fullness in the promised land. You see? So this is the faith over and over and over again. And it's not faith in miracles. It's not faith in God per se. You know, like, I believe there's a God, you know. I mean, when I was in my BC days before Christ, we'd sit around, you know, and we'd smoke dope and we'd talk like this. We'd say, "Well, do you believe in a God?" And I remember one of my friends said, "Nah, I don't believe in God." And another one said, "Nah, I don't believe in it." And one of them said, "Yeah, I believe in God." And I didn't ask him, because I didn't know better back then. I didn't say, "Well, do you believe in Jesus? Do you believe he's your life? Do you believe that you died at that cross in Christ?" Because I didn't know that kind of stuff, you know. He didn't even say he believed in Jesus, just God. That could be, you know, Buddha or, you know, anybody. I guess it couldn't be Buddha because he wasn't God, but it would be, you know, one of the gods. A lot of people in the U.S. would say, I believe in God, I believe in Buddha, but he never claimed to be God. Okay. Verse 32. And what shall I say more? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah and of David also and Samuel and of the prophets. First of all, he's saying there is a whole bunch more. Anybody that you know, anybody that you've read about, they actually are mentioned in the Bible and are important to God, not because they did the right thing, but for the same reason all the people listed here. Because they had faith. Because they had faith, and it wasn't a faith in miracles, and it wasn't just a faith that there was a God. It was a faith that believed in life out of death. And the writer of Hebrews goes right down and shows each and every one of these are the thing. And so finally, and remember now, this is an answer to what was going on in chapter 10, the last part, where they're going through trials and stuff, and now they're starting to freak out. And this is an exhortation to them. This is not like some sort of theological dissertation that he's given here. This is an exhortation to people going through stuff, and he's saying, look, don't be the thief over here that's just griping about your circumstances. Be the one over here who changed crosses, who joined with Jesus, and Jesus said, you'll be with me where I'm at. You know, don't die on your own cross. Don't go, you know, don't succumb to that. But join with Jesus. Well, how do you do that? You do that by faith. You do it by faith. And so he's saying, you know, all of this stuff you're going through, remember, you know, he called to remembrance and he starts going through all this. And then he starts saying, look, you are part of a vast group of people. And we were sort of talking about this up in Arkansas, but, you know, we think, well, we're just a small church or whatever, you know. First of all, the group that's up there, we're probably the biggest group that's there, so I don't think we're a small church. I always think, oh, we're the big ones, you know. But a lot of people even here could do that. They could start going through stuff and going, oh, my God, you know, we're just a little group, and where's the proof, and da-da-da-da. Well, the proof is that, what shall I say more of Gideon, of Barak, and of Samson, and Jephthah, and David, and Samuel, and Noah, and Enoch, and Moses, and Abraham. And he's going right down the line in this book, and he's saying, look, we're part of a big church. We're part of a church that has all one common denominator. We believe in life out of death. We believe in embracing a death that will bring forth Christ. And we're not afraid of death because the sting of death was taken away when we were joined to Christ, because there's a resurrection out of that. He didn't say death was taken away. He said the sting of death was taken away. He says the fear of death. He says the fear of death, all that, well, you know. He didn't take the fear of death away except in terms of understanding that death worketh for us, that these things work for us, that they're not our enemies. And that's the hard part, because, number one, everybody reads those scriptures wrong. Number two, everyone is afraid of death unless they understand Christ's death. Here's what they say. Why do you preach all that death? You know, I want to hear something about life. Well, life only comes out of death. So you just want to talk about life without death? No such thing. It won't happen. Can I get amen?
Amen.
It's not going to happen, you know. And so the more death we're involved with, if you understand what I'm saying, the greater the resurrection. And it says, it'll get into that right here. It'll just say it. Mwah. Just incredibly clear so that we can understand it. But before it does that, he's just naming off people. And he's already named the big names. Now he's going through some of these other guys, Gideon and Barak and Samuel and Samson and all that stuff. And he's saying, what can I say about all this? All that have gone before us have gone the same path. They believed in death and they believed in life out of death. They believed in going into death so that life can come forth, so that Christ can come forth. They're of the same faith that we're of. You know, we may not be of the same faith of the faith teachers on TV or something like that, but we are of the same faith as the Bible people. Are you okay with that? You know, well, I'm real okay with it, you know, and they're all, you know, I mean, they're all preaching, well, get a miracle or get success or get a lot of money, you know, you know, it's funny to me, they're the only ones getting it. You know, we're doing all the giving, you know, mail it in, you know, well, how about you mailing me some of that? Do you got any faith? No, I'm talking to them. If you got faith, dude, send me some money. You know, I'm living by faith. No, you're not. You're living by all of our money.
Yes, that's right.
We're living by faith. Anyway, sorry. Yes.
You know, I was just thinking about, I was reading through Jonah the other day, and just thinking about how, you know, it is so hard to convince us that life comes out of death. You know, I was just thinking about Jonah and the whole thing. His whole issue with Assyria was that Assyria was God's instrument of death for Israel. And he didn't want, he wanted Assyria to be destroyed. It's the same thing for us. You know, we see things in our environment that look bad to us, and we automatically, you know, oh no, that's not of God.
That's right.
And the Lord said, no, this is my instrument of death for you. This is how you're going to come into life.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, until we are utterly convinced in our hearts, we will not walk in agreement.
No, no way. And all this talk right now is not doing anything. I mean, it might get someone a little bit pumped up for a few minutes or for a day or whatever. But the truth is, these guys, I mean, they are part of the eternal story. They are part of the eternal story, and they received it, and we can be a part of that. But to be a part of it, you have to go beyond what Scott's saying. You have to get to a point where you see absolutely the value of this decrease so that there might be an increase, of this suffering so there might be a reigning, of this dying so there might be life, so of loss that there might be gain. And to see that, I mean see it, I don't mean hear it, because, you know, we hear it all the time. To see it means it'll change everything in your life. It just changes. I mean, it does, because why? Because it literally changes your life, because Jesus is the only one who will really live this way. We won't live this way. We'll try and fail, and then we'll go, well, you know, that I never believed that anyway. That Randy, he's a cult leader. He's a this or that, you know. I mean, it's either, I mean, if this is the eternal story, then we need to recognize that. We need to see it. It's the story for all ages, all times, all seasons. It is God's story with man, and you can just slap a name on it. I mean, whoever that is. I mean, you put a man there, you know, you put him at the very beginning, and you can call him Noah. You know, but he's right now, he's just a man who received the eternal story. So let's go a little further. And then, you know, you call it Abraham. We call him Abe. But, you know, and you go with that. And you see what I'm saying? You just go on and on and on. It's just a man. It's just a person here who has received that indwelling reality of Christ. And therefore, because, you know, it's going to point out here when it gets to the end of this and the end of the next chapter, it's going to point out this is exactly what Jesus did also, in case you're worried and wondering, you know. All right. Let's read 32 and 33. For what shall I say more? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak, of Samson and of Jephthah and David also and Samuel and of the prophets. And, you know, the time has failed me. I've only got two classes left. I'm scriptural, yeah. Of course, if you think of it being scriptural, well, I guess Judas was scriptural too because he fulfilled the scripture. What I'm saying is there's more to it than being scriptural. We want Christ formed in us. Do y'all think I'm weird with the stuff I'm saying? I look at your faces sometimes and go, what? All right, next verse. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of the lion, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword. I mean, no wonder. Yeah, read it. Yeah, don't let anything get in front of me. Don't let anything get in the way. I can defeat anything because I am a child of the King. And again, none of us are child of King Jesus of the King, and we're not his child, or the Father's child. But that's what they say. And they say, well, look, it's right here. It's right here. Well, do you know what this is saying? First of all, I mean, for example, let's just pull Samson out of that thing. Okay, Samson, he takes a jawbone of an ass and he kills 1,000 Philistines. Okay, but remember, at the end of his life, I don't know how many it was, but they grabbed him, tied him up, put his eyes out and everything. So there might have been more Philistines than 1,000. Okay? Well, he killed, you know, he did this and he defeated that, but he never took down the Philistine kingdom. Not with his strength. And yet, is he not called the strongest man in the Bible? I think he was stronger than Arnold Schwarzenegger. Though similar. Anyway. Apparently, strength is not what's the key to this thing for either of those men. And I'm not putting down what happened as much as I'm putting down the fact that no wonder it happened. Of course it happens. Without Christ, without going the way of the cross and Christ's life, it's going to happen. Of course. You know, it's like calling a dog, you know? I mean, it's what it is until Christ be formed in us. That's all you can say about it. All right, so Samson, so here he is. He's defeating all these Philistines. He's doing all this stuff and looks like he's winning. Winning. Anyway, I got a couple of you there. Charlie Sheen. Winning. It's not about winning. He looks like he's winning. Not Charlie, but Samson. Him too, but a lot of parallels we got going on here with then and now. But finally, there's more of them, and with that, more strength than what Samson's got. And they take him and they chain him up. And they, you know, cut his hair, chain him up, put his eyes out. All right, so now he's weak. Now he's blind to the world, to the ability to take him out with his own strength. He's chained up, he's enslaved, he is put in a dungeon. He's mocked. He's laughed at. And so they chain him up between two pillars. And he says, Lord, just this one time. Just one time. That's all I want. I know I frittered away all the other stuff. Just one time. Give me the strength to pull these pillars down. Well, what's that going to do? Well, number one, it's going to kill him. He died. He didn't pull it down, kill off all the Philistines, and then come shooting out the top and go, yeah, I knew it, baby! You know? That's what we think, and that's what we preach, but that's not what happened. In his death, he, just like Christ in Jesus' death, so Samson, he brought down the Philistines. He killed all the kings and the princes and all of the big shots that were in that big stadium. Life out of death. And that's what he believed in. And that's what he was hoping for. And so, subdued kingdoms? Well, yeah, he subdued that kingdom, but what did it cost him? You see what I mean? We read this, we go, they subdued kingdoms and wrought righteousness and, you know. Just sit down, dude. You know what I mean? I mean, it's just full of flesh and self and all this kind of stuff. Nobody with that attitude wants to go into death. They want to defeat everybody. They want to defeat everybody. They don't want to be defeated. Well, Samson was defeated, and doesn't it say the next thing here? Out of weakness were made strong. Was he not brought to weakness? And from that he found the right kind of strength. Do you understand? The kind of strength that allows you to go into death. The kind of strength that'll believe in something that nobody else will believe into because they're all trying to save their flesh. Can I hear something? My God, that's exactly what it's talking about here. But we don't see that. You know why we don't see it? You know why most people don't see it? Because they don't see the truth of faith. They don't see the truth of the gospel. They don't see the truth of Christ and Him crucified. Christ and Him crucified to them is an event that happened 2,000 years ago that makes me, you know, you've heard me share on it, makes me a conqueror. But the Bible says in Romans 8, we're more than conquerors. We are killed all the day long. You read it. It's there. I'm not twisting it. It's all right there together. See? You know? It's more than a conqueror. It'll end up with the victory through death, though. You see? Anyway, don't want to take a bunch of time to explain all that. Stop the mouths of lions, quench the violence of fire. Well, I can think of a couple of stories. Let's see, that was Brother Daniel. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Am I right or wrong? Is that the, okay, so, I mean, that's the only reference I know other than Samson also killed a lion. And if you know the meaning of that, when the lion died, the bees made honey. And he took and ate and drew strength again, and that was the riddle. Out of the strong came forth sweetness, and out of the fierce came forth sweetness. Well, that's through death. That's when the lion attitude in us dies. And then God begins to do a new thing within us and bring forth this sweetness. Again, we got to read the stories for what they really are saying and not, you know, most of us are messed up because we, you know, not all of us did, but many of us are messed up because we went to Sunday school. Well, and here's what I mean by that. I'm not saying we shouldn't do that. But in most Sunday schools or whatever, children's churches, they teach you Bible stories. They don't teach you Christ. They teach you a Bible story and they try to find the moral of the story. Jesus said, John 5:39, search the scriptures. And at that time, there were only Old Testament scriptures. He said, so basically you could say Jesus said, search the Old Testament scriptures, for they are they which testify of me. But you don't want to come to me that you'll have life. You want to get in there, dig out your little stories and say, okay, now you need to be, you know, when you're laying in bed during the storm, you need to have faith that God will protect you. That's not the faith. You need to believe that lightning's going to hit a tree, it's going to fall over on and kill you. No, but you need to believe in what God believes in and what he calls faith and tells you to believe in so that fear does not control you. Can you hear me? And fear doesn't control your kids. All right. Stop the mouths of lions. Okay, but do you remember how he got there? He got lied about and talked about and ganged up upon, and eventually they turned the king's attitude, who respected Daniel, turned his attitude, even though he didn't want to do it. They tricked him into it, actually. And so into the lion's den he goes. Well, this says he has faith. Well, what does that mean? That means he went into death believing life will come out of death. And when he came up out of there, woo, he was raised up even higher than he was before. But he embraced the death. Amen? Same with the three Hebrew children. You know, we go, well, they're, you know, I love the story, and I remember when I was a young Christian how much I appreciated the fact that, you know, the king said, okay, I want everybody to fall down and worship me when you hear the sackbut and the dulcimer instruments of music. And so, you know, they all did, and there's thousands and thousands of people that are enslaved to this kingdom, and the three Hebrew children, they don't bow. Okay? And I think they're probably pretty easy to notice, because everybody else is down and they're the only three standing. What's that? Are you playing with me? No. So what happens? Well, they're thrown in a fiery furnace. But what are they believing for? Just a miracle? No, because a miracle didn't happen. What happened is the king looks in there and he don't really want them to die either. You know, but they go into that death and they embrace the death, and then they look and there's one like the Son of God walking around too. And the king says, didn't we put three people in there? And they said, yes, O king. And he goes, there's four. There's another one. There's one like the Son of God in there. I see Jesus now. I don't just see three committed believers. I'm seeing Jesus. How do you see resurrect? How can there be an increase? There has to be a death here. Right? Does this not follow every story that we've gone over? You know? It didn't say Jesus appeared outside the fire and said, fire, and put it out. And then looked at the king and says, stop it. You know? He didn't do that. Or, you know, whatever. Or float up above him, you know? Look, I am the Son of God. Stop it. These are my people. Make them kings, and you become a, you know, jester. As he floated, you know, and oh, my God. But that's what we want. That's what we're praying for. That's the way we think. Even, you know, we don't know we're thinking that until somebody weird tells you something like that. And you go, you know, it's sort of, that is the way my mind. I'm looking for some big miracle instead of him in the fire. He didn't take him out of the fire. He kept him in the fire. And that's what he's going to do with you. He's not taking away your fire. They said, let's make it seven times hotter. Does anybody feel the flames? Seven times hotter? Do you feel the flames? Guess what? He didn't take away the flames. He got in there with us. And he appeared in their selfless giving. Because Jesus only appears when we embrace that kind of a death. Other than that, we're just in it and we're going, it's hot in here. Lord, you know, deliver me. Help me. Do a miracle. Do something. You know, my wife gets upset with me. You know, I know that we got people right here living upstairs and whatever that don't have air conditioning. I haven't turned my air conditioning on upstairs in my house yet. Work all day in the heat. I do that because I just go, you know what? Long as they're having to go through something like that, I'm going to do it. Deb's going, you know, no, you got to, you know, got to turn the air conditioner on and stuff like that. I've got a little thing in there. I can see it. 100 degrees in my office with my computer going. Lord, if you know, I'm just with you. I'm not going to seek to save myself. I stand with my brothers and sisters, whatever they're going through. I believe Jesus somehow will appear in these kind of things. I believe there's a selfless giving that God honors when you want Jesus more than you want your own comfort.
Amen.
You know? And that's just one dumb example, a very dumb example. I would never expect anybody to go that route, but I'm in the fire with the Lord. I'm enjoying it. I'm not, you know, my wife can't understand at all, you know. She comes upstairs and it's just like, but hey, I'm losing weight. I mean, I am, although that was not my intention. Trust me, if you do that to lose weight, you'll gain 10 pounds. Am I right or wrong? You try to do that and then call it God, you'll gain 50 pounds. Don't call it God, it'll only be 10 pounds. And don't get off into weird stuff. I'm giving you an example from mine that I don't know that anybody would fully understand, but I know what I'm doing, and I'm with the Lord, and I'm doing it in the Spirit of Christ, so I'm just totally good with it. Okay. So stop the mouths of lion, quench the violence of fire, escape the edge of the sword. All right. Folks, do you even realize a bigger picture? Okay, you know, in those examples, I gave you the picture at the moment. And what did we see? What did we see? We saw death and life, right? We saw a willingness to be put in an uncomfortable situation and call it death, because for us, our faith will embrace union with Christ in that to bring forth Christ, right? I mean, that's really what we're seeing here. But there's a bigger picture. My God, there's a much bigger picture. There's the world stage, not just that moment, and we don't realize that. We just live our lives in our little realm and go, I got this, and I got to wash dishes, and I got, you know, and it's hard for us to get out of the reality. But all of this is having, like the pond effect, you know, a placid, then you take a big old rock, you throw it out of the pool, and it just goes through the whole thing, you know, and you just see the ripples of it go. Well, that's exactly what's going on here, too, because all Israel has gone into a death called the captivity. And that captivity was a situation where, before it took place, they'd lost their faith, they'd lost their heart, they'd lost their focus, they'd lost their commitment, they'd lost the reality of God in Christ, they'd lost the reality of the cross, they'd lost it, and they got off into all sorts of God-awful things, and it was just incredibly away from the Lord, and the Lord would send prophets, and he'd say, return unto me, return to me, not, you know, because it's always about him. It's never a religion. It's always a him. It's always a him. And it's so easy for us to put it into cruise control and just sit back and relax and just let it carry us. No, we can't do that. We don't want to do that. Because why? Because we love Jesus too much. Because we want Jesus too much. Because we want others to have Jesus too much. Because we don't want to waste our life and waste our time and do all this and just get a little nest of our own living and not be caught up in the great eternal plan of God that is having an effect in this situation here. So they got off from that, and they got off from the reality of it. And so what is the answer? Well, we say, this is us again, we say, well, God got fed up, and he decided he's just going to punish all them people, and he's just going to, you know, put them in captivity and kill a bunch of them, and, you know, and don't hack the Lord off. I mean, that's the Old Testament picture that most people have of God. No, he knows. He knows. He's the God of these people. And when he sees ruin and disorder and all that kind of stuff, he knows there's only one answer, Christ and him crucified. He knows that's the only answer. You need to know that, because we know that theologically, but when we get in our situations, we'll reach for anything else that'll get us out of it. God will not. God, you know, it talks about Galatians 2:20, living by the faith of the Son of God. That'll be something else we'll share later. God has a faith. There is a reality of faith. And God will never let go of this being reality, reality of his being, that the only hope is life out of death. And if you want, you know, I mean, if you know, God could say to the angels or everybody in glory, if you want to see a change, there's going to have to be a death. God could say to Israel and everything, if there's going to be a change, there's going to have to be a death. Right? And so, because, yes, they did wrong, didn't they? For example, well, keep your place here. You like my little... keep your place here, but let's see, it's in Acts, and I think it's like Acts 2, but I'll have to get there and then see if we can find it. Yeah, Acts chapter 2, and we'll just read verse 22 and 23. Acts 2. It's page 1164, if you've got the same kind of Bible I got. You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, because these signs follow them that believe. You don't do them. You're not hunting them down. They follow you. God does stuff behind you. You know, I mean, you got all kind of stuff. You're going after Jesus. See, here we go. You're going after Jesus, and there's all kind of stuff following you. There's signs and wonders. There's goodness and mercy. I mean, you got a flock of stuff coming up behind you, but you keep turning around looking for it. Every time you turn around, it's not behind you, so it's not going to follow you. I mean, does that make sense? Because you're going after that, it runs away. But you start following Jesus, that follows you. God will take care of you. Anybody have miracles happen in your life, in your home, in your family? Yeah, of course we do. Do we have it happen in this church? My God, so it's we exist because God has done miracle after miracle. We couldn't even exist. We shouldn't exist. I mean, we've been beat and bombarded and everything else, and God keeps us afloat. Well, how many times do you hear people get up behind this pulpit and go, there's been another miracle? You don't hear that. You hear those who are following Jesus declare Jesus and assuming those things are going to follow us. I mean, does that make sense? Somebody says, well, Randy just don't believe in miracles. He don't believe in the Holy Ghost. He don't believe. I sure do. I believe in everything that's in the Bible. I believe it from Genesis to the maps. But I believe it all. I believe it's all pointing to Christ. And if we get in the way, it doesn't apply. And then we're chasing stuff. And if you seek to save, you lose. Did you hear me? I mean, if you seek to save, you lose. You're not going to get it. You can't get it by going after it. But you can get Jesus by going after him. So anyway, so here's Israel, man. They've messed up bad. for a long time, and God knows. And oh, I didn't finish reading the scripture. Let's finish that. Midst of you, as of yourself also know, verse 23, him, talking about Jesus, being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. What does that mean? The determinate counsel. Who sits on that counsel? Well, it's the determinate counsel of God, so it must be like three of them. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Is that what it's, determinate counsel of God? You know, it's not, you know, Moses sitting in. I just thought I'd sit in with you guys. Because why? How do I know that? Because it says him, by foreknowledge of God, God had already planned this. But look, there's more. You have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain him. All right, so what's the true story? Is it that God planned the cross and it wasn't Jesus being murdered, but it was the way God operates to bring about change? Is it that? Or is it wicked people murder Jesus? Kill the Jews! Well, I think we ought to kill the Italians too. Well, I mean, Pontius Pilate, let's get them. Why y'all pick on us? Just kidding. No! For all you Italians, I'm just joking. There's another one I'll be in trouble for. My point is that Jesus wasn't murdered. He was a willing sacrifice. And that doesn't let us off the hook, just like it didn't let Israel off the hook before the captivity. They had sinned. They had done these things by wicked hands. They were wrong. You understand? But the cross was to change everything. Even if they were ungodly in their approach, even if they hated Jesus, he still went into death. See, here's us. Well, you know, the picture I've always seen is, you know, Jesus taking up the cross and going to Golgotha, and he's carrying the cross, and we see the streets lined with people, and all the people are going, yeah, go, Jesus, go, look, yeah, Jesus. That, you know, then we go, oh, I'm up to see the cross. You know, we're all happy and, you know, excited. But what if everybody's yelling, crucify, we hate you, you're a liar, you're demon-possessed, you've done this, you've done that. What if that's happening? Then do you keep going? How about this side? This side? Just for the video, none of them are going to go if they're not being applauded. Yes?
I don't know what made you think of it. Well, actually, I don't know. Just something that was recently in the news. But just the... A recent example of the Lord working that way is the Holocaust. You know, because, you know, I don't believe it's any accident that Israel was the nation of Israel was reborn right after.
After 2,000 years.
Yeah, and after the about 6 million.
They weren't reborn or rebirthed as a nation for 2,000 years, but when this horrible death happened, life came out of death. You say, well, I don't know that anybody in that Holocaust believed that. Well, there's this little lady named Betsy. And later, much later, her sister, Corey. So, yeah, you know, it don't take 8 million to die. It takes one to die in that thing. And if a seed fall into the ground and die, it'll bring forth much, you know, not a lot or a fair amount, but much. All right, so, yes, Israel is to blame. Yes, God addresses that. Yes, the prophets, you know, address the sin of Israel because you, by wicked hands, you've done your failure also. But God always moves according to the cross. God always moves according to the cross because he believes in resurrection. And so he sends them into there, and guess what? There's this guy named Daniel. then he's literally writing a book. We see, we go, yeah, the book of Daniel, scary. He's writing a book. He's telling you exactly when resurrection's going to happen. We're coming up. We're coming out. We're going to be a different people when we come out. We're going to, you know, and that was the whole thing. And so you had those throughout Ezekiel and on and on and on, man. They saw the resurrection temple. They saw the reality. That's what it was all about. We're just, you know, we go, well, good. He punished them. They deserve it. Well, you deserve it. We all deserve it. It's not about deserving it or not deserving it, you know? I mean, the funny thing about Rahab is all the way through the Bible, it continues to call her Rahab the harlot. How would you like that? I gave that up. I'm a new creature. Hey, Rahab the harlot, come here. You better know who you are or that's going to bug you. I know, thanks. Because they slap all this stuff behind your name and whatever, you know. I mean, Rahab, you know, didn't have the internet. But if she were here, you know what she'd say? He put it in the Bible. Every Christian reads it. She knows who she's one with. She's okay. Don't worry about her. Don't weep for her. Better weep for yourselves. Okay. Let's see. Let me make sure I've got this. I wrote in my Bible a couple of weeks ago, during the death of captivity, during the death of captivity with... during the death of captivity with the ultimate purpose of bringing Israel out. That's resurrection. And all of those who were not of this seed would either die in Babylon or remain there. They would show, because the opportunity came, folks. Opportunity came. It says, okay, God's still, he's bringing us out. Resurrection has come. Let's go. And a bunch of them said, look, I got a business here now. My family, we've been living here for generation two, you know, and I don't think so. I think we're going to stay here. We fit in well here. Well, amen to that. Okay, we're out of here, you know. Well, we don't even see. This is the pattern over and over and over and over and over again. It's the same pattern. Will we, not will we receive the message of it, will we embrace this death so that Christ may be increased in his body, so that resurrection life, which is Christ, come forth, see? That we can walk in newness of life. That's Jesus. All right, so... So when, and I said all of that to say, who through faith subdued kingdoms, Samson died to subdue that kingdom, who stopped the mouths of lions and quenched the violence of fire, they went into death personally and on a corporate level, both. Can I get something from you? There's... somebody has to be committed beyond their own needs. Okay, I'll go into death so I'll get a resurrection. Do you understand? That's just selfish. I mean, it could be. It could be. You see what I'm saying? I mean, you could just embrace this like people do, you know, miracles or success preaching or, you know, prosperity teaching or something like that. Same with the same greed. No. There has to be a larger picture eventually where you are willing to go into that death so that others may receive more, the increase, which is Christ. All right, and so then right after that it says, escape the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong. And that we pointed out in the case of Samson, it's in the case of every one of them. It's in the case of every one of them because... his strength is made perfect in our weakness. I mean, it says that in the Bible. Did you know that's in the Bible? Well, then why are we praying to God to strengthen us? Can I get old me? Why are we praying to God to strengthen us when it says His strength is made perfect in my weakness? If we believe that, wouldn't we be praying, Lord, make me more weak so that Your life would come forth? Wouldn't we? I mean, if I'm just saying now, this isn't condemning. I'm just saying if that were true, then logically, it's a duck. Then it would automatically mean that if we believed that, and if we saw it, and we saw it from the Holy Spirit, and it was a witness to us, like these guys, and all these having received witness through faith, that had received this witness and this reality, then you'd say, you know, Lord, do not strengthen me. Because every time you do, I get strong, and then I go back to my old ways. And I'm sick of that. That hadn't worked. That's called the book of Judges. Read it. Read the whole book. They'd get in trouble. They'd sin. Then they'd get in trouble. They'd go into captivity, and they'd cry to God, oh, God, get us out of this. God send a deliverer. He'd deliver them. They'd get strong again and go right back. And it's the same story over and over and over, because it's the same story with us. And we'll do the same thing, and we won't even get past the book of Judges in our walk with the Lord, because we're too busy praying according to the way the world thinks, strengthen me, that strength comes out of strength.
Yes.
Right? Instead of out of weakness. You know, I often think of, you know, people the world over have heard of Watchman Nee. But Watchman Nee, there was nothing special about Watchman Nee until he bumped into some little missionary lady that was so laid out she couldn't even get out of bed. And he went to, you know, all these Bible school students were sent out to go find the needy. And so he went to this old lady, Sister Barber, and her home, and he was going to help her and be a blessing to her and stuff like that. And if you read his story, every time he's sitting there talking to her, and all of a sudden she's talking to him, and then he's got his head down on her bed and crying, and she's got her hands on him and praying for him. And she's the one, and he tells you that shared the revelation of Christ with him. Where'd it come from? Out of weakness, out of death, out of one who was a missionary to that country and couldn't even get out of bed. Well, what good is that? You're worthless. Or you could turn that on yourself and say, I'm worthless. Well, I got news for you. You're right. And so am I. And so are we all, unless it's Christ. But the way to get Christ is out of weakness we're made strong, not out of our own strength, not out of Him continually strengthening us. And again, the proof's in the pudding. If God has done that to you once or twice or three times, and you've ended up, you were real committed when you were in trouble. Oh, Lord, please. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Oh, yes, I mean it. If you'll just get me out of this, I'll serve you all the days of my life, at least till next month. A couple of weeks, maybe. But then you wake up after a while, and you go, gosh, what happened to that heart that I had? What happened to, I mean, I'm back to what I was doing before. Hello? And we don't want that. We want the Lord. Yes.
You say sometimes, don't forget in the light, or don't forget in the darkness what you learned in the light. And today the Lord said to me, don't forget in the light what you learned in the darkness.
Yeah. Good. Good. All right. We need to stop. Go take a break. And there'll be one more flogging.